As the three friends sit in silence, each lost in their own thoughts, the only sound is the distant hum of machinery from the base they are about to infiltrate. The weed helps them cope with their emotions, but it also reminds them that they are running out of time and need to get moving before it's too late. As they approach the base, they can see the machines swarming around the perimeter. Julie looks at his malfunctioning 8-pack with disappointment and frustration. "All right, guys," he says, trying to come up with a new plan. "We need to find another way in." Theron nods, his eyes scanning the surroundings. "I think I can take care of that." He points to the nearby water tank. "Watch this." With a swift dive, Theron plunges into the tank and swims towards the base's air vent. He uses his swimming skills to navigate through the narrow pipe, dodging obstacles and debris. Meanwhile, Carl takes point, using his agility to dodge incoming fire from the machines. Dewey follows closely behind, taking out any Terminators that get too close. As Theron reaches the vent, he sees a Terminator waiting for him. He knows he can't take it on in hand-to-hand combat, so he uses his swimming skills to Theron, being the resourceful swimmer he is, decides to use his aquatic skills to outmaneuver the Terminator. He starts doing a series of flips and somersaults in mid-air, using the water pressure to amplify his movements. As the Terminator tries to track him, Theron uses his momentum to create a mini-tornado underwater, sucking the Terminator and disorienting it. With the machine momentarily stunned, Theron quickly grabs its head and Theron uses the water pressure to amplify his strength and delivers a crushing blow to the Terminator's head, using the force of the water to drive his fist home. The machine's head snaps back, its skull cracking under the pressure. The Terminator collapses, defeated, and Theron quickly swims out of the vent, victorious. He rejoins Carl and Julie on the surface, grinning from ear to ear. "Check it out, guys," he says, holding up his dripping wet fist in triumph. "I just took down a Terminator with nothing but my swimming skills and a little bit of water pressure." Carl and Julie stare at him in awe, impressed by Darren's ingenuity and resourcefulness. "You're a genius, Theron," Carl says, shaking his head in disbelief. Julie nods in agreement. "Yeah, man, you just took down a Terminator with nothing but water and your swimming skills, that's insane." With the base now breached, the three friends move to infiltrate the facility, ready to face whatever dangers lie ahead. As they move deeper into the base, Carl takes point, using his agility and stealth to navigate through the shadows. Julie follows closely behind, keeping watchful eyes out for any signs of trouble. Theron brings up the rear, keeping an ear out for any unusual sounds. Their mission is to gather intel on the base's operations, but they're not entirely sure what they're looking for. They've got a few leads, but nothing concrete. All they know is that something big is going down, and they need to find out what it is before it's too late. As they creep through the corridors, they come across a group of guards patrolling the area. Carl freezes, holding his breath as the guards walk right by him. Julie follows suit, pressing himself against a wall to avoid detection. Theron holds back, watching from a distance to make sure the coast is clear. Once the guards are out of sight, the three friends exhale slowly and continue on their way. They move stealthily, avoiding any more run-ins with the base's security forces. As they turn a corner, they come across a large door with a sign that reads "Authorized Personnel Only." Carl's eyes light up with interest. This could be exactly what they're looking for. So Carl, Theron, and Julie are trying to figure out how to gain access to the mysterious room, but they're stumped. Meanwhile, Julie's 8-pack seems to have developed an unexpected issue. Hernia hijinks. As Julie proudly displays his newly repaired 8-pack, he notices a strange bulge forming on his chest. At first, he thinks it might be some kind of malfunction or side effect from the repair job. But as he looks closer, he realizes that it actually resembles a hernia. Carl and Theron are taken aback by this unexpected development. "Julie, what's going on with your arm 8-pack? Carl asks, trying not to giggle at the absurdity of the situation. Julie looks down at his chest in alarm. "I don't know, I just fixed it, and now it's doing this weird thing." Theron chimes in. "Well, maybe it's a sign that you should take a break from using it for a while," but Julie is not having it. "No way, we can't afford to waste time on me when we're trying to get into that room," Carl tries to reason with him. "Julie, you need to prioritize your health. If that hernia thingy gets worse, it could be serious." Julie's face turns red with determination. "I'll figure out a way to deal with this later. Right now, we need to focus on getting into that room." As Carl, Theron, and Julie continue to search for a way into the mysterious room, they suddenly hear the sound of approaching footsteps. A Terminator emerges from the shadows, its cold, calculating eyes scanning the area. Carl quickly springs into action, using his agility to dodge the Terminator's initial attacks. Meanwhile, Theron uses his knowledge of the area to try and outmaneuver the robot. Just as it seems like the Terminator is about to overwhelm them, Carl comes up with a clever plan. He sticks his finger inside the Terminator's open arse, disrupting its systems and disabling it. The three friends stand victorious, but their celebration is short-lived. As they catch the breath, they realize that they're not alone. A voice has been speaking to them from Julie's hernia. "Hey guys, I'm Quad," the voice says. "I've been inside this guy for a while now, and let me tell you, it's been a real adventure." Carl and Theron stare at each other in shock as Julie looks down at his chest in alarm. Julie, what's going on with your arm hernia? Carl asks, trying to process the situation. Well, Quad says, I'm part cybernetic. I was created to help people like me, but I think I might have gotten a little too advanced for my own good. Darren leans in, intrigued. So, what do you mean by part cybernetic? I've got some pretty cool upgrades, Quad says with a chuckle. I can interface with technology, hack into systems the works, and I think I might be able to help you guys get into that room. Carl and Darren exchange skeptical glances, but Julie seems to be considering Quad's offer. What do you say, guys? Quad asks. Want to team up and take on whatever is inside that room? As Carl, Darren, and Julie with Quad's guidance into the mysterious room, they are met with an eerie silence. The air is thick with the scent of decay, and the walls seem to press in on them like a physical force. Suddenly, the lights flicker to life, illuminating a scene that will haunt their dreams forevermore. Before them lies a grotesque tableau, rows upon rows of human skulls, each one bearing a twisted, cybernetic grin. The skulls seem to be arranged in some sort of twisted pattern, with flowing blue lines tracing out a macabre design. The friends' eyes widen in horror as they take in the sheer scale of the carnage. It's as if an army of cyborgs has been busy collecting and displaying the remains of countless humans, all in the name of some twisted art project gone horribly wrong. Carl's voice cracks as he stammers out, "WH what? What is this place?" Darren's eyes are fixed on the skulls, his mind racing with the implications. This can't be real. This isn't possible. Julie looks around, his face pale and worried. Guys, I think we should get out of here, now, but it's too late. The room begins to shake and tremble, as if some ancient, malevolent force has been awakened by their presence.